if you could just give our listeners a quick summary of what is happening in terms of the transfer of prisoners from the Regional Treatment Center to Collins Bay.
Okay. So basically, due to some very poor planning on behalf of the Conservative government, as well as ambitious promises to close Kingston Penitentiary by September 2013 with no real plan in place, there's a number of displaced prisoners from the Regional Treatment Center, 70 of them actually in total, who don't have a cell space at their intended site, which was supposed to be Bath Institution. So basically, they've forced Collins Bay to come up with an ad hoc accommodation plan, and that plan will increase the population levels of the other security units in Collins Bay, increasing double bunking and just putting an additional amount of pressure and strain on an already exacerbated prison environment. And more or less, it comes down to political posturing.
And so you expect that the prisoners who'd be transferred to Collins Bay would then be transferred again to a unit that will be specifically for psychiatric prisoners at Bath Institution?
Well, that's what they've told us. They said it's a temporary measure. Approximately 3 to 4 months is how long the RTC guys are supposed to be at Collins Bay. Yet we're skeptical of that because Kingston Penitentiary has been open for 177 years. And considering all of the additional work that they would have to do to refurbish this security unit here to accommodate these guys medically, it just doesn't make sense. They wouldn't just leave them in Kingston Penitentiary, at least on the Kingston Penitentiary grounds at their regional treatment center, for that 3 to 4 months. So we're kind of concerned that once they do take up cell space in Security Unit 6, they might make this their permanent site.
And we do see with the construction happening at Collins Bay of a new maximum security unit, the transformation of Collins Bay Institution into a multi-security level institution. Do you see that as happening sort of in the same context?
It looks optically, they're attempting to disguise prison expansion by creating subpopulations within already existing prison compounds. Because I think they've built up a couple of these maximum security units at different sites throughout Ontario. And they've been able to do this relatively in a low-key way without a lot of, at least as far as I can tell, public criticism. However, I think if they were to actually build a maximum security prison accommodating, say, 500 to 600 guys, as opposed to spreading them evenly throughout three or four other institutions, that they would come up against much more public resistance. So it looks to me, at least as far as the optics go, that they're attempting to deceive the general public about their plans for prison expansion in Canada.
Has the Inmate Committee or the general population been sort of made aware of the implications of having different populations existing at Collins Bay in terms of access to resources? Like, for example, are they increasing sort of the yard space or the access to outdoor recreation with the additional unit, or is it going to mean less access because of...
Yeah, so the existence of different security level prisoners within one compound presents a number of immediate consequences. One, those two different populations lawfully are never supposed to mix. So when you have a shared site with shared recreational resources, shared medical and mental health resources, as well as shared space for practicing spirituality, the basic routine of the institution oftentimes gets disrupted because one population or the other has right to basic access to all those services. So, for instance, if, say, there's an incident with a maximum security guy in the recreation area, and let's say, for instance, the security staff here needed to go and move that prisoner to another part of the institution, they would have to completely lock down the institution, send all of the medium security guys to their cells for whatever period of time it takes them to perform what they would call an extraction. And sometimes that could mean a whole 24 hours where you're locked inside your cell.
And double bunking has been a major issue across Canada. And even at Collins Bay 2 years ago, there was a strike, and in the newspapers it was reported that the key issue around that strike was levels of double bunking within the institution. Is that accurate, and does that continue to be a major issue for Collins Bay?
Yeah, double bunking has been a significant issue, especially since the Conservative government has increased population levels. According to CSC policy, they're not supposed to double bunk beyond 20% of each institution, unless they get special permission from the Commissioner of Corrections. That said, any amount of double bunking presents as a challenge for the person who has to live in that space. Since there have been double bunking at higher levels, they've noticed a 33% rise in violent incidents in institutions. Obviously, if you think of the logistics of being in a cell with another person in a space that's smaller than an average bathroom for sometimes up to 24 hours or more if you're on an institutional lockdown, you know, there's a lot of discomfort that goes with that. There's also personal dignity issues of something as simple as using the washroom. And considering the fact that CSD always makes the claim that they're dealing with a complex and challenging population, many of who have substance abuse histories, mental health issues, and particularly violent pasts, it doesn't make sense that they would be placing these two type of people in such a small living space and expecting it to run smoothly.
Over the last few years, reports have sort of said that CSC has started to sort of not allow the marking of prisoners' justice day within the prisons. Is that continuing, and what are people doing to still mark the day?
Well, what happened was at one institution where we were formerly allowed to observe Prisoners' Justice Day through memorial T-shirts, there was a pattern on one of the shirts that allegedly depicted an upside-down Canadian flag with bars on it. The Canadian government saw that as a defamatory symbol. From then on, outlawed any observance of Prisoners' Justice Day by making available Prisoners' Justice Day T-shirts. We at Collins Bay, in this Prisoners' Justice Day, will be observing similar to what the students in Quebec used during the tuition strike, but ours will actually be a 1-inch by 1-inch black square. And it's just to signify and remember all of the men and women who have passed on unnaturally in the prison system, as well as consider the people that have basically given their lives to stand up and fight for a number of the rights that we oftentimes take for granted today. Some others have decided to also use a black tie around their arm. People are still being creative and being autonomous, and I think people still have that spirit. And regardless of what the system says or tells us we can or can't do, they can't stop us from taking a moment that day to remember the people who have died unnatural deaths in this system.
What would you see as some things that people on the outside, who either are prison reformers or prison abolitionists, could do to complement and support the struggle that you're currently waging against this RTC issue at Collins Bay?
Well, I mean, one of our biggest blocks here is communicating to the public. Prisons are generally closed institutions, oftentimes with little output. But nonetheless, just by providing a link to the community, where prisoners can express the reality of prison life and hopefully challenge some of the stereotypes that exist in the community that are perpetuated by media and other groups.
Okay, well, thanks very much for talking with us, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.